The Lord has laid some things heavy on my heart that I want to share with you, but I'd like to stop and take a minute to ask you to go into prayer and pray for discernment. The things that I'm about to speak on, they reach past the realm of human comprehension. It's going to be hard for a lot of people to understand the things that I'm saying, but I want to give you a rightly divided word of truth and help you to understand where we are biblically and what these things look like that are unfolding. So again, stop, take a minute, pray for discernment, and ask the Lord to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, and understanding of the things that I'm about to tell you. Now, with that being said, we recently discussed how the president, Donald Trump, had announced this Genesis mission. He signed an executive order to launch this Genesis mission to advance AI and technology to a place where we've never seen it before. And that is where this third phase of AI is going to come in with super intelligence. And we've talked about this, but it's basically saying that super intelligence is the third and final phase of AI, which is where it reaches a level of intelligence that is uncomprehendable by mankind. But we also saw that Donald Trump announced that he is going to put $500 billion of privately invested funds into a Stargate project. And when you look at what a Stargate is, it kind of goes back to these sci-fi movies, and it's like a portal or a stable wormhole where people can travel to and fro through from this reality to a different dimension. But we know that the Bible tells us that there is only the physical reality and the spiritual reality. And we know that we obviously are in the physical realm, but the other side of the veil is where that spiritual realm is. And they might want you to believe that there's aliens and other planets and all of this stuff, but the Bible tells us that there are two different realities. That is the physical and the spiritual. And on the other side of this spiritual realm are demons. But if you look at what they tell us in the movies and what they do with these stargates and these portals, and you go and you look at this place called CERN. In CERN, Switzerland, they have the Large Hadron Collider, which is the largest machine that's ever been built on the Earth to date. And it has been invested in by multiple nations. And what this thing is, it is a particle collider. These people are taking particles and accelerating them in these tubes that are like 3 miles in circumference, and they're 300 feet below the ground. This is an underground facility, but they're colliding these particles at above the speed of light. Now, what's interesting to me is if they're telling us that these stargates in movies are portals where people can essentially travel through dimensions or through time, but when you look at what a stargate is in reality, they don't give you much of an explanation. They're just saying that they're using it to advance AI and all of these things. But we have these things depicted in these movies, and now we have the president of the free world that is saying they're going to spend $500 billion on these things, and we already know what kind of fruit is on the tree with CERN in Geneva, Switzerland. They're saying that they want to open a door. They want to open a door to bring something here into this realm. And I noticed that when you look at CERN, you see that their logo is actually comprised of 666. Now, if you look into this facility right out front of CERN in Geneva, Switzerland, they have this giant bronze statue of this deity or this demon called Shiva, which is the Hindu goddess of destruction. Now, when you look at this statue and you look into what it means, it says that she's doing the dance of the cosmos to create havoc and destruction on the earth. And when I looked into these things, I thought, you know, this is pretty crazy because they're saying they want to build one of these Stargate things here. But my question is, if their goal is to open a door and bring something here, what can come through that portal? What can come into this dimension? And I've talked about this before, but you have Stephen Hawking, before he died, ironically, right before he died, he came out and said that if CERN doesn't really watch what they're doing and know what they're doing, that they could open up a portal or a black hole that could destroy the Earth as we know it. But something else that's very interesting here is that CERN says that one of their goals is to accumulate or gather dark matter. Now, when you look at what dark matter is, it's a very unstable substance. And the way that I understand it, how they describe this stuff, is that whenever you bring dark matter into this reality, that it is so unstable that it causes problems with our Earth. They say that if you don't keep it in a very controlled environment, that it will go to the core of the Earth and create instability. Now, what they're beginning to notice is that every time they run this Large Hadron Collider at high energy levels, they're seeing patterns of earthquakes all over the Earth. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that we're seeing an increase of earthquakes and extreme weather events. But when you look at what the nature of this dark matter is and how it seeps down into the center of the Earth and causes things to become very unstable. And that's their goal, right? They want to discover dark matter. I saw something very interesting in the book of Matthew where Jesus was talking about how the people of disobedience will be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But if he's talking about this domain of hell, right? This spiritual realm where there is punishment and judgment and gnashing of teeth. It kind of sounds like that if Jesus was calling this outer darkness, and these people who have literally 666 for their logo and a demonic deity, a bronze statue of this demonic deity out in front of this facility, then what are they doing? They're doing the dance of destruction, and they're bringing in dark matter that Jesus said was outer darkness, and it's creating this chaos and all of these things on the earth. Now, not only did Jesus mention this outer darkness multiple times in the book of Matthew, I want to read this passage to you from Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 50. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now, listen. You got to understand something here. When Jesus cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, in this moment, the Holy Spirit of the living God stepped out of the body of Jesus, and it caused an earthquake that shook the earth, right? The veil of the temple was a very heavy woven sheet, a blanket material that was so strong that it was supposed to separate the physical realm from the Holy of Holies, right? It was in the temple. It was ripped in half from the top to the bottom. That's how powerful this event was. So you got to understand something, that Satan himself, for no marvel, is transformed into an angel of light. He desires to be God. So what does it sound like he's doing with these stargates? If he can collide these particles and create this dark matter and make these events happen that are creating earthquakes or causing more earthquake seismic activity, what does that sound like? It sounds to me like that he's trying to play God, because at CERN, they've came out and said that they've discovered the Higgs boson particle, which is they're calling it the God particle. And they're saying that it's literally the particle that holds mass together. What's that look like? God spoke in the beginning and said, let there be light. And there was. And he spoke everything into creation. So it sounds to me like that they have found the physical molecules that are the voice of the living God, because that is what holds together mass. It's the voice of God that keeps everything in subjection, that keeps this creation from being in chaos. And they're taking these Higgs boson or God particles and they're destroying them at high rates of speed, at above the speed of light. And when that happens, it creates a tear in time and space. It creates a tear in the veil, and they're bringing something through that veil to the other side, and they're calling it dark matter because they're trying to destroy the very voice that holds mass together. Now listen, I'm not trying to say that they're going to be successful at this. I'm telling you what they're trying to do. Jesus said these things were going to come to pass. The Bible tells us, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant to his devices, but there is something much bigger going on here that you need to understand. Not only do they have this machine in CERN, Switzerland, in Geneva, Switzerland, They're putting $500 billion of privately invested money so that they can build one in the state of Texas. What's going to happen here when they start operating this thing with the power of super intelligence through this Genesis mission, and it's right there next to the Yellowstone volcano and the Cascadia subduction zone and the New Madrid fault line? We've talked about a few of these things, but we need to be prepared in our heart for the fact that these things are coming to pass. And not only are we seeing that, we're noticing other things change in our reality. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter that Jesus went and preached to the souls in prison. Now, you need to understand what it's saying there, that if Jesus went to the prison and preached to the souls, right? That means that he literally went to the center of the earth, because he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so also will the Son of Man be in the center of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Now, I want to read something to you here very interesting in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So that tells me that Jesus stepped out of that vessel into that spirit realm. He walked right down to the gates of hell and he took the keys to death and hell. And he preached the gospel to those souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah, right? So I want to read that scripture to you here in 1 Peter in chapter 3, starting in verse 18, going through 20. For Christ also hath suffered once for sins. No. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So that sounds to me like that when the days of Noah was here, the Lord is long-suffering enough that when Jesus came to pay for the sins of the world, those people that died in the flood, some of those people, they didn't have a way. They didn't have an opportunity to go through that door. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enters through me, he will find pasture and rest. He's going to enter in and out. They didn't have a way. So it looks like here that Jesus went down there and he preached unto the spirits in prison. He gave them an opportunity. I would like to think that not many of them passed that up. They probably said, yeah, we would like to come with you one day when you come to receive your bride. We would like to be a part of that. So this is amazing to think about, that this event was such a spiritual event that it shook the earth. It tore the veil. It made graves open up. And the bodies of the saints, they came out of the graves and went in and was a witness to people. But what are we seeing here with the fruit that's on the tree with these organizations like CERN? And now we're seeing the president saying that we're going to have this Stargate in Texas. When you look at the demonic sigils and the symbolism and the 666, and the Shiva, goddess of destruction, statue that they have out front, I went in and did some research on the commercials and the advertising videos that this CERN company does. And they show these people very strangely, like in their underwear, doing this dance of destruction, this Hindu demonic dance of destruction. And one of these videos, it shows this man who's dressed all in black, and he walks up to this circle that these people are doing this dance in. And when he reaches out with his finger, one of the people in the circle reaches out, and when they touch, it looks like time and space just collapses and they begin to fall through this pit, and everything's just falling like just extremely fast, and there's chaos. And I thought, wow, that's pretty insane that these people are advertising this. Like this guy obviously looks demonic, who's all dressed in black. And when he reaches out and he makes contact with those that are inside this circle, inside this veil, these people are putting it in plain sight. You have to understand that the devil is in the details. And what they're doing is directly affecting this realm, because I believe that the more dark matter that they bring into this reality, the more power Satan is going to have, until it comes to a point that the Bible says that the pit was opened up, right? They said they want to open a door. And the Bible tells me to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He was cast to the earth. And when the pit opened up, a great smoke arose out of the pit. But something that's very interesting to me is that when I saw this video of these people doing this dance, and when they made contact with this satanic looking guy, and everything fell, it took me back to the book of Daniel. In chapter 7, starting in verse 25, it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times." He's going to think to change times and laws. And we have these physicists saying that if they keep doing this, they're going to create a collapse in time and space. Why do you think we have these laws of physics? Newton's law of motion and gravity and elasticity and all of these different laws. Doesn't that sound like that he's trying to destroy God's creation? Maybe. He thinks that if he can open up this portal and bring hell to earth, that he can kill us all before Jesus can come back and get us. Because he obviously thinks that he has that capability. Now, I'm not trying to say that Satan is going to be able to achieve any of this, because it is written. He's already been defeated. But you need to prepare your heart for the fact that the Bible tells me in Revelation that men's hearts will fail them from fear of looking at the things that are coming upon them. The earth. Now, as we see all of this stuff happen, and I'm trying to paint a picture here for you to kind of prepare your heart for what I'm about to explain next, because we are at a time where we're not only noticing an increase in violence and lawlessness and iniquity and evil and people being given over to a reprobate mind, right? The Bible says these things are going to happen, right? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold, and evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But something I'm noticing is that we're seeing a spiritual shift that is affecting these churches and religious organizations. We're seeing a spiritual awakening that's taken place in the body of Christ, and people are seeing the true nature behind these churches and these religious organizations that are servants of greed and the spirit of religion. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, and people are just, they're overwhelmed with disgust at what they're seeing. People are waking up and seeing the truth and the fact that these people, they're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they have churches that if you don't like what one says, you can go find another one that makes you feel justified in your lifestyle. But I believe we're at a point with all of this spiritual warfare that's going on, that people have been lied to for so long that they're hungry for the truth. They're looking for something more. I'm seeing these things in my own life. Just recently, a few days ago, I was involved in a revival at the local detention center at the jail. And it went on for a week. The jailer here in Logan County, Kentucky, the Lord put it on his heart to have revival for these men and women because he could see that there was a heavy spirit on these people. These people are at the lowest points of their lives. And I believe in this moment, what happened in our community is that the Holy Spirit came looking for fruit. If you haven't got to see episode 18 yet, I strongly recommend you go watch that episode. It's called A Great Shaking Is Coming, The Withered Fig Tree in the United States of America. And what I believe happened in our community is that the Holy Spirit came looking for fruit, right? We talked about this in this episode, how when Jesus was hungry, when he left Jerusalem, he came to a fig tree. And he was looking for fruit because it was in its season. It had leaves on its branches. And when he found no fruit, he looked at the tree and he said, "From this point forward, never bear fruit again. Let no man eat of you ever again." And the Bible says that the tree immediately withered up and died from the roots. And the disciples marveled at this tree. And that shook me to my core because I said, "Lord, if you ever come looking, please don't let me be without fruit in my season. I don't ever want you to say to me, never bear fruit again." But I believe when the Holy Spirit came to our community looking for fruit, he checked some of these local churches and he didn't find any because they were, like Jesus said, they were whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. So then I believe that Jesus did what he does and he went to the place like the jail where people are in their lowest moments, right? He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee and my strength is made perfect in weakness." And when he came to that place, he found a man, Mr. Toomey, the jailer, who has the heart of a servant, and he found some fruit. And this man was obedient and he put together this revival. And all of a sudden, when we started on Monday, we walked in this place and the first person that got up and spoke, they couldn't get three words out of their mouth, and the Holy Spirit fell upon this place, and it was life-changing. It was amazing because all of a sudden, there were 135 inmates out here, and it was 32 degrees outside. It was freezing cold, and all of a sudden, all of these inmates just came and fell on their knees and started crying out for the name of Jesus. And in a moment, I looked around, and there wasn't deputy jailers and inmates and civilians. It was just broken people crying out for Jesus. We felt the power of the living God. I saw something so amazing because during this week, over 92 souls were saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And we baptized over 54 people in this jail. In the name of the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of the living God. And as I was so amazed by this and how we were able to do this and how God was able to do this through us, I saw something completely disgusting. And I talked about this a little bit on my social media pages. But as we were seeing this amazing move of God, there were churches that were refusing to be a part of this revival. There were churches that literally withdrew their participation because of who was involved with it. When they saw that I was involved with this revival, they called and said they had something better to do. They didn't want to be a part of it. Can you imagine missing that blessing? Imagine having the opportunity as the leader of a church to come and be a part of the salvation of souls of that magnitude in a place where people are in despair, where people are incarcerated and in jail. You got to understand something here. This is not just people that society has thrown away. These churches have turned their back on the very people that Jesus came to sit and eat dinner with. He said, "I came not to save the righteous, but the sinner. It's not the healthy that's in need of a physician, but the sick." What are we doing? I believe that all of these things I'm talking about with these spiritual battles that are going on, with these devices of the devil, we're seeing a spiritual shift take place, and it's affecting the very churches because the Bible tells me that the time has come where judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of those who obey not the gospel of God? What do you think's happening here? Jesus Christ is coming with his Holy Spirit and he's looking for fruit and he's finding none. So he's finding fruit in the places where you would least expect it. I believe that what we're seeing is a great separation is taking place and the spirit of religion is being reproved. People can feel it. You can look around and see the dead religion that's in these churches. It's the same old thing day in and day out. But I want to read to you here in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 24, going through 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What does that look like? He said the kingdom of heaven is going to be just like this. I went out sowing good seeds, and somebody, the enemy, came along and threw some bad seeds in there. And when they sprouted up, they came up at the same time. And when the servant said, hey, there's some bad seed out here, master, did you not put good seed here? What are we going to do? You want us to go pluck them up and pick them out and weed them out? He said, no, everything's so small. You're going to pull the tares up. You're going to uproot the wheat and we're going to have nothing. He said, let them grow together. Let them remain until the time of the harvest. And when the time of the harvest comes, we're going to bundle up the tares first and we're going to burn them. And then you can gather together the wheat into my barn. I believe that that separation is happening, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that as we see the enemy increase these devices to make spiritual warfare, to put out these frequencies and gather this dark matter, we're seeing this increase in AI. We're seeing these Stargate projects with $500 billion being put into them to put more of them on more continents around the world. China's involved with this stuff. Other nations are getting involved. We're seeing a separation in the spirit realm. The Bible tells me that there's coming a day when Jesus says, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells me over and over that God is no respecter of persons. You're going to run around out here and act like you're the leader of a church and then go over here and see a place that needs the body of Christ the most. And you're going to say, well, I'm not going to go over and mess with that because I don't like somebody that's involved with it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to turn your back on the very people that Jesus came to eat dinner with? You're going to turn your back on the people who are in the most despair? You don't see the fact that the very reason that these people are in this place is because Satan desires to have them so that he may sift them like wheat. The reason they're addicted and afflicted and oppressed and possessed and in these places of bondage is because the devil sees the value of their soul in the kingdom of heaven and you're too blind to see it. You don't understand that Satan desires to have these people while you sit over here in your nice big 5,000 square foot house that the church pays for and you preach a real good message on Sunday about how we gotta finance the kingdom of God. Put that money in the plate so we can tear down our barns and build bigger ones. We don't have enough bathrooms. We need a bigger fellowship hall. Let's tear this barn down and build a bigger one when God is saying, thou fool, this night Thy soul shall be required of thee. I came to you looking for fruit and I didn't find any. So I went to the lowest place in your community and I found fruit and I did a multitude with a minimum. You need to wake up and understand that the time for being lukewarm is long since past. The time for being a respecter of person is no more. Talk is cheap, Mr. Preacher Man. It's time for you to put your money where your mouth is, because people are tired of being lied to. They're tired of going into vain, dead religion. They're tired of going into whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. The Spirit of the Lord is upon this place, and it's time to bring forth fruit. The Bible says in the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We've got all these churches on every corner where people go in like it's a gang, and they say, well, I'm a Baptist, and I'm a Pentecostal, and I believe this, and I don't get along with this church over here. You go to church, and you expect to see a move of God, and you never see anything because you've got your mind on division and strife and confusion and every evil work, because you can't see the forest for the trees. You don't understand that what the Bible tells us in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, the only reason the Holy Spirit showed up and gave utterance is because they came together with one accord. How can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm not trying to be negative or hateful. I rejoice. The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice more over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous. But these people had church services right after this revival that took place. And I talked to some of the people that go to some of these well-known churches, and the very ones that withdrew their participation, and they didn't even mention it. There were angels rejoicing in the kingdom of heaven for these souls, and you didn't have the backbone to mention it. What is wrong with you people? I understand why God said he repented in his heart that he had made man, because the very people who draw nigh to him with their mouth and they honor Jesus Christ with their lips, their hearts are far from him. But I believe that spirit of religion is about to be reproved in this hour. My question to you today is, are you tired yet? Are you tired of vain religion? Are you tired of expecting to see God show up and go to the same place every week and nothing ever changes in your community? You long for revival and nothing ever happens. You long to see the presence of God and you just don't feel it, because you go in and you sing a song and you give your money and you hear this same old backslidden, lukewarm message that doesn't bring you to repentance. It doesn't put conviction on your heart, because they're afraid if they tell you about sin that you're going to run out of there and not give your 10%. We need to understand that the time for that nonsense is over. The time for talk is over. I ask tonight that you would stand in agreement with me in the name of Jesus Christ, that revival would come to this land, that people would come out of this dead spirit of religion and begin to worship in spirit and in truth. Stop exalting these buildings. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. He walks in a man. Jesus said, you see that temple? There will not be one stone left upon another. Tear it down and I will raise it up. And he spoke of his body. We are the members of his body. We have to hold each other accountable. If we're the body of Christ and we have two arms and your left arm's not working and your right arm is, the head's going to say something's wrong here. I'd be better off to cut this off if it's causing me problems than to continue on with it. We need to be searching for fruit in this hour, because when the Holy Spirit comes and he says, I need some fruit and you have none, if he told the fig tree to wither up and die and never bear fruit again, what's going to happen when he says that to a man? What's going to happen when he says that to a church? It's time for the men and women of God to understand that we need him in this hour. If it's going to get so dark and the enemy is going to have these devices that are going to divide people to a place where they're going to hate each other. Jesus said there's going to be five in one house divided. The father against the son and the mother against the daughter. daughter and the brother against the brother. It goes all the way out to the in-laws. What do you think's going to happen whenever Satan puts the beast system online? We're going to need to be as close as we can get to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to need to be walking in agreement and standing in agreement on His Word so that His Holy Spirit would dwell here with us. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." What are we doing in these gangs on every corner talking about, "I'm not a Jesus follower, I'm a Baptist follower"? You're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. "Come out of her, my people. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." This falling away has already happened. You're divided against your brothers and sisters. And Jesus said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand, and a nation divided against itself will be brought to desolation." I need you to understand that right now is the time that we must stand in agreement, come together with one accord, and fight the good fight. Put on your whole armor and stand against this darkness, against this evil that is coming upon this place, because the devil is laughing at you, people. He's laughing at you every time you go into that building for 1 hour a week and shut those doors and have your little message, and you come back out and you treat people like crap the rest of the week. Jesus didn't tell you to go to church. He said, "Be the church." Stop being lukewarm and stop acting like you're holy and righteous because you visit a place that has nothing to do with God. You are the church. Do you realize that in this moment, the enemy, the Antichrist, is getting ready to make war with the saints? Revelation says it is given unto Satan to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And we're in a time right now where the body of Christ, so-called, can't even rejoice for the lowest members of society being saved because they're jealous or greedy or whatever. They don't get the glory. Whatever the reason is, if the angels are rejoicing, don't you think we should be too? I want to take a minute to talk to you about your walk with Christ, because it is very much physical as it is spiritual. The Bible tells us that we should walk in the Spirit so that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But your physical man will wrestle with that spirit man. The Bible says that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another, and the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit after the flesh. But let me ask you a question. What kind of fruit is on your tree today? I want you to ask yourself, does my life increase the kingdom of heaven, or does it increase the pit of hell? Because make no mistake, the Bible tells me that hell hath enlarged herself. So that means that you can add to that pit, or you can add to the kingdom of God. That means you can bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and I am bringing with me each man's reward according as his work shall be." But your actions reveal your intentions. You'll spend 5 hours scrolling on your cell phone or watching a television show, but you won't spend 5 minutes in prayer or reading your Bible. That don't feel good to hear that. I had to check myself. Go into your phone settings and look at how much time you spend on social media a week. I get it. We live in an age of technology. It's nothing wrong with using your phone to read your Bible, to listen to a pastor. But if you're on here doom scrolling these videos and giving place to the devil, not spending an ample amount of time reading your Bible, going to the Lord in prayer, you're spinning your wheels. You are literally allowing that to become an idol in your life because you look at it more than you look at the Word of God. Jesus said, "Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Most people spend 1 hour a week in church, but they won't spend 1 hour a day reading their Bible. They trust a man who gets a salary to tell them his opinion about the Bible for 1 hour a week, and sometimes on Wednesday. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm not talking about every church. I know that there are churches out there that are rightly dividing the word of truth. I also know that they are few, very few, and far between. But the majority of these places, we know them by their fruits. Look at the fruit that's on the tree. Do you see the power of God on these places? Do you see them out in their communities, standing around the square of the town, praying, making intercession, going out and praying around the jail. They'll send people to the nice neighborhoods to sing Christmas carols. Why wouldn't they have came down here to this jail revival and locked arms and started praying that the Holy Spirit of the living God would visit them too and spread throughout our community? They wasn't interested in that because there wasn't no money in it. There wasn't no glory in it. You got to understand that if you go to your church and it feels like a place of dead religion, you need to get up out of there and go out and start praying that the Lord would manifest through you and help you to bring forth fruit and do something good in your community so that you could see revival, so that you could see these things happening. Because until we get out of this place of division and find that common ground that they found on the day of Pentecost, we're not going to see a move of God like that. So I am going to challenge you today to pray and ask the Lord to use you in this hour to bring forth fruit. Stand in agreement with me that the Holy Spirit of the living God would come and find fruit in everybody that hears this message, that we would be able to see souls saved in this moment, because the hour is getting late and the day is far spent and the time for being lukewarm has long since passed. Ladies and gentlemen, time is short. Hell is real. And Jesus Christ is coming. We see the enemy setting up his final kingdom that Daniel the prophet spoke of. We see the devices of the enemy. We're not ignorant to these things. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep amidst wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You need to know your enemy so that you know how to stand and fight with the living word of God. He's already defeated. I'm not telling you these things to bring fear into your life. The Bible is clear on this. We are not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." But we have to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called. It's not a small thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And how are we going to have wisdom if we don't fear God? You got more people out here fearing Satan than they do the Creator. They fear the creation more than the Creator. The Bible warns us about that. He said, "Fear not him who can destroy the body and not the soul. Fear him who can destroy the body and soul in hell." That's where the fear begins. We fear the one who gives and takes away. Guys, I ask that you would stand in agreement with me when I pray for these churches. I'm frustrated with these people, but I don't hate these people. I'm not mad at them. I just want to see them go forth as laborers into the harvest. If you're out there watching this message and you're a non-believer or you're thinking about coming to the faith, you might be thinking, "Man, these church people are a mess." I'm here to tell you tonight that you have an opportunity to fill a seat at the table of the wedding supper of the Lamb, to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. We need you. We need laborers in the harvest. The Bible says the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. If you're out there and you're undecided and you're not sure because you've been pushed away by these religious demons, these religious spirits, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is above every demon. Jesus Christ is above the spirit of religion and the Pharisee spirit. Don't look at the theatrics of the devil. Go to the Lord. Seek him with your whole heart and you'll find him. Go to him in prayer and ask him to use you and send you forth as laborers into the harvest, because now is the time. And if you are an unbeliever and you happen to make it this far into this message, I want to ask you to do me a favor. Would you do me the honor of taking my hand tonight and turning from that iniquity that you've ran through your whole life? God's been long suffering with you. Would you do me the honor of walking up to the gates of heaven with me so that you too can hear those words that I have longed to hear my whole life? "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, so I will make you a ruler over many." When you think about it, this world don't have anything to offer you past this season that we're in. Because most people think we will just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But the Bible says, it is appointed unto all men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Your soul is a very precious and valuable thing. And if the devil sees that it's so valuable that he will set up all of these devices and all of this work that he's doing to try to pull you away and putting all these distractions and all this filth and defilement, don't you think that God sees it as that valuable too, and that's why he has prepared a place for you, many mansions in our Father's house, so that where Jesus is, you may be also? I want you to pray about this. Seek the Lord's wisdom. Ask him to bless you with knowledge, wisdom, discernment, and understanding. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Guys, I'm not trying to be a doomsday professor, but I'm telling you, this separation is here. And you don't want to be on the side where he says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Because when God says that, it's the same thing as saying, never bear fruit again. Guys, I don't know how much time we've got left, but I know we're seeing things that Jesus said was going to happen before he returns. So I want to take a minute to say a prayer with you for God's hedge of protection, but also that he would bless you with discernment in this hour so that you would be able to see clearly on what it is that he needs you to do to be fruitful in your season. If you haven't yet had a chance, go check out our website. It's the Tyler Wood Encounter. www.tylerwoodencounter.com. We have these t-shirts on there. I know I sound like a broken record, but we have new subscribers every week. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to the channel. Check these shirts out. We have several different styles. They're next level, 100% cotton. They're the best quality t-shirts that I could find. It helps what we do here at the Tyler Wood Encounter when you buy these. A special thank you to everybody out there that have bought these t-shirts. We are grateful for that. But I also wanted to make something that would help you to walk in boldness. They have Bible scriptures on the back. They can open the door for you to be a witness when you're standing at the grocery store and somebody that might not normally get to read the Word of God can see it on your t-shirt. And I think that's important in this moment for us to walk in boldness, for men and women of God to stand bold in their faith. Because the days are evil. We must redeem the time. So thank y'all for all of your support. So I want to say a prayer for you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you tonight to thank you for this opportunity to seek your wisdom. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Lord, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through you, Lord, to the pulling down of strongholds. Father, tonight I just pray that we could stand in agreement, that we could come out of this lukewarm spirit of religion, out of these doctrines that are tossing people to and fro with every wind of doctrine, Lord, that you would let your scriptures be written on the tables of our heart. Let them be applied to our lives and let us go forward into these things and call to remembrance your word so that we may edify others, Lord. We pray for all of these people who are in despair because we know that you came not to save the righteous but the sinner that was needing saved, Lord. We pray that you would use us in this moment to be beacons of light, fishers of men. Let us stand in agreement tonight in one accord that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven and that you would send your Holy Spirit to our communities as we stand in agreement that revival will come, that we could cry out in repentance and turn from our wicked ways and repent for our sins and bring your will to our homes, to our family, to our lives so that you would be able to walk in us and dwell in us and we will be your people and you will be our God, Father. We desire to welcome you into our homes. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us today, Father. We pray that you would continue to guide us and lead us into all truth and that we would acknowledge you in all of our ways so that you would direct our paths. Father, I pray for every soul that can hear the sound of my voice, Lord. I pray that you would set your hedge of protection around them and encamp angels around them and drive every unclean spirit out from around them and give them discernment in this moment to understand how to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called. Father, I pray this for myself and all those who are in attendance for this prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. We pray for all those who need you and all those who have asked us for prayer. We give you the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you the glory. Amen. Guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Pray on these things. Read your Bible. Pray for these churches that are backsliding. Pray for these churches that are the servants of greed and the spirit of religion. We have to help these people. We have to make intercession for these people. The Bible says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Jesus said, if you will agree, if two of you will agree touching anything on the earth, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So I ask that you stand in agreement with me on these things. Guys, subscribe to the channel. Share this message. I love y'all with all my heart, and Jesus loves you more than anybody will ever love you for the rest of your life. There are many people that have many opinions about me, and that I do not care about, because I am not here to please men. I am here to serve God, and if I was here to please men, then surely I am not a servant of Christ. This is the Tyler Wood Encounter, and my name is Tyler Wood, and I rob hell for a living. God bless y'all tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world.